the headlines, Yemen's Ansarullah movement says the visit by U.S. President Joe Biden to the Middle East was only meant to empower Israel with Arab Muslims' money. Iran says the U.S. president's allegations that the country is destabilizing West Asia is nothing but a failed rhetoric. And Ukraine says Russia is preparing for the next stage of its offensive as Moscow steps up attacks on a major city in the eastern region of Donetsk. Hello and welcome from our headquarters in Tehran. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumisha Ahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Yemen's Ansarullah movement says the summit held in the Saudi port city of Jeddah and attended by visiting U.S. President Joe Biden was only aimed at serving the interests of Israel. Senior Ansarullah official Muhammad Ali al-Houthi says Biden's tour of the West Asia region was an attempt to prop up Israel with Arab and Muslim nations' money. Houthi has also slammed the normalization of ties between some regional Arab governments and Israel. He says the normalization will never make Israel more powerful. Washington had earlier indicated that Biden will use the summit to push for a military coalition of Arab nations and Israel against Iran, but no commitment to such an alliance was made by the participants. Iran has dismissed accusations by U.S. President Joe Biden that it is carrying out destabilizing activities in West Asia. Tehran says the U.S. is trying to foment tensions in West Asia by resorting to the failed policy of Iranophobia. Earlier, we discussed the issue in our news review program. Let's take a listen.
Time now for the news review. Iran says that the United States is trying to foment tension and crisis in West Asia by resorting to the failed policy of Iranophobia. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani made a comment in reaction to the U.S. president, who's accused Iran of destabilizing activities in West Asia. He also slammed Biden for raising false allegations regarding Tehran's peaceful nuclear energy program while ignoring decades of deception by the Tel Aviv regime as the largest possessor of nukes in the region. During an address to the GCC Plus 3 summit in Jeddah, Biden said the United States will remain as an active player in the region, and it will not walk away to leave, quote, a vacuum to be filled by China, Russia, or Iran. Now, that was the story. Time now to get some insight on this. So joining me will be a couple of guests from Tehran, Fuad Izzati, Professor of International Studies with the University of Tehran. Also with us will be Tohid Asadi. He's a political commentator. Good to see you, gentlemen. Now, Professor Izzati, U.S. won't walk away from the region to... that was really funny, to let Iran, Russia, and China... Well, why should the U.S. be in this region? I mean, what if we do the same thing in other parts of the world? I mean, regional countries are there. They have regional issues. Iran has its own proposal. Russia, China, others, other players in the region, they know what to do with their own issues. Why should the U.S. be in this region? And now we have Mr. Biden saying we will never walk away. Why should they be here in the first place?
You know, it does sound, if you look at the history of the last number of decades, especially after World War II, the Middle East, the West, used to be an American backyard. Americans used to control Iran. They used to, and still control, and many other states in this part of the world. Majority of the states in West Asia were American clients. And the, 43 years ago with the Islamic Revolution in Iran, and then you had Americans basically coming under pressure from what the resistance movements, Iran leading that movement, to make sure that of this region and interests of the people of the region are addressed without interference from the United States. And the situation as we speak, is very difficult for the United States. You have countries like Russia and China that have also increased this part of the world, and the United States president feels that he needs to publicly the United States will not leave. Why would he have to say that? Because a lot of countries are basic that the United States is a power in decline, and they are making other choices. You look at the coverage of Biden's visit, quite negative. He failed to achieve most of the goals that he had, and I think this is another indication that United States standing in this part of the world is weakening as we speak.
Okay. Now, Tohid, let's take a look at this part of Mr. Biden's comment accusing Iran of fomenting tension and crisis. What's he talking about? I mean, I just don't get it, because what crisis? In Syria, for example, the Damascus government asked Iran to go and give some military advisory help. Iraqis asked for Iran help. We had General Soleimani and his colleagues fighting and helping Iraqis uproot. Is this fomenting tension and destabilizing move?
Well, I think all in all, Biden's recent trip to the occupied Palestine in Saudi Arabia takes place after former President Trump's unilateral rancorous policies against Iran failed. Therefore, Biden tries to kind of make a regional consensus against Iran to continue the very obnoxious policies, which is, as Professor Izzadi mentioned, part of a grand strategy of colonization and new neo-colonization. So here, there are a couple of points. Actually, much have been said regarding your question, but I would like to touch upon a couple of facts rather than analysis. Fact number one is that Biden claims that it is trying to create kind of stability in the region. That is on the one hand. And on the other hand, we know that between 2016 and 2020, according to a CPRI report, almost half of U.S. arm exports has gone to countries in the Middle East. So the serious question to be asked here is that, is the United States trying to make stability in the region by selling weaponries, or so this is just one side of the coin. Another point is that after President Raisi came to the office, the entire effort of the current government was to develop better relations with the regional countries. Mm-hmm. And just assuming the fact that if Tehran and Riyadh could improve their relations, how huge the impact could be upon the energy market, and how huge this impact could be on the United States in a very negative way, is something that the United States is pretty much aware of and is pretty much aware of its dangers. So Biden, it's interesting, it expresses concerns of regional activities. We know that his country is the same country that attacked Afghanistan, attacked Iraq, Syria, and so far and so forth. So the list goes on. At the same time, this is Iran that in past four decades has not started any war. And again, it's very interesting. The United States refers to Israeli concerns about Iran's activities. And here, the question is that which one is more dangerous? The Israeli regime, which possesses nuclear warheads, is not a signatory of NPT, has already occupied a country and regularly attacks other countries, other Arab countries. So this country puts forth this baseless claim that Iran is a kind of sole concern or threat to the region. These are all contradictory lines of argument that has been by the West in order to provide a very negative picture of Iran to the world. And I think if you just take a look at the realities in the ground, truth is something else compared to what what has been put forth by the United States and its Western allies.
Okay, what is it? Let's take a look at some instances to see who's doing bringing this instability in this region. Iran offered the Hormuz Peace Initiative, asking Persian Gulf littoral states to get together at the negotiating table and to try to address any sources of concerns or whatever they have. And then we have the U.S. that's trying to form this NATO-style anti-Iran coalition. Let's talk about a little bit about this. And you just remember, you just heard what the Qatari Emir, how he reacted. And he was actually saying that it's Israel that's the main source of tension in this part of the world.
You know, the United States lives on creating crisis and benefits from creating crisis. And in order to sell more weapons to the countries of this region, in order to justify the presence, in order to create a setup where Israel is the de facto ruler of this part of the world in their attempt, at least, have to engage in this type of rhetoric. They want to create an enemy out of Iran for West Asia. They want to create an enemy out of China for East Asia. They want to create an enemy out of Russia for Europe.
Right.
And by creating this type of animosity and by demonizing these countries, they think they can benefit themselves. And of course, the policy is a mistaken policy. What they have done to Russia and China in the last number of months is actually hurting the United States more than any other place. And the same thing is actually true with regard to Iran.
Now, thank you so much, Fuad Izzadi and Tohid Esadi, both of them in Tehran. Thank you for your insight and contribution.
The Emir of Qatar slams Israel as the major source of tensions in the Middle East. Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani says instability will persist in the region unless the regime stops its violations of international law. The Qatari Emir noted Israeli settlement construction's attempts to change the demography of Al-Quds and the blockade of the Gaza Strip as the root causes of instability and tensions. He called for a just solution to the Palestinian issue, stressing that the matter is a central cause for Arab and Muslim people. Sheikh Tamim made the remarks during a GCC Plus 3 summit in Jeddah. Israeli police say an officer has been killed after being run over by a Palestinian at a checkpoint in the occupied territories. The incident happened near the city of Ra'anana. Police have identified the Palestinian as a 17-year-old from the occupied West Bank area of Ramallah. They say he has been arrested. No further details are currently available on the incident. Tensions have been running high in the occupied territories recently as the Israeli military cracks down on Palestinians. More than 60 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli forces this year, many of them in raids. At least 19 people have also been killed in Israel in attacks by Palestinian individuals since March. The Ukrainian military intelligence says Russia is preparing for the next stage of its offensive in Ukraine. A spokesman says Russian forces are now pounding Ukrainian towns and cities with rockets and missiles. The spokesman says there is also shelling along the entire front line, with Russian troops actively using tactical aviation and attack helicopters. Kiev says the target seems to be Slovyansk, which is symbolically important in the eastern region of Donetsk. Moscow has announced that its forces would step up military action in all operational areas. Kiev says dozens of people have been killed in Russian shelling of urban areas in the last 3 days. A sizable number of lawmakers blame the West's aggressive foreign policy towards Moscow for the cost of living crisis currently impacting EU citizens. The 27-nation bloc is facing an energy crisis after cutting off oil imports from Russia over the conflict in Ukraine. Jerome Hughes reports.
A debate in the European Parliament has heard that 22% of people in the EU are struggling to make ends meet. That's almost 100 million citizens who are counting every cent. Apparently, sending weapons to Ukraine is not the answer.
The best way to deal with the cost of living crisis is to stop prolonging the war. The people of Europe favour peace, even well above punishing Russia.
EU financial markets are in turmoil. There are calls for the introduction of a windfall tax.
Energy prices and food prices are going through the roof. Capitalists make profits by speculating on markets and thereby hurting millions of households.
Members of the public have been talking to us about the current state of the EU's economy.
It's terrifying to see that our free market is like collapsing. All the money that we are going to send to Ukraine, then we will have to need this money, and where we are going to take this money from.
The head of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, has been singled out for criticism in the European Parliament.
We talk now about the increase of cost of living in the European Union, which is just a result of the insane and unsound policies promoted by the European Union since Ursula von der Leyen took office.
There have been calls for greater solidarity between EU member states to deal with the cost of living crisis.
In order to make sure that we are not at the end dividing Europe in those who are able to help and those who have more difficulties.
On sanctions against Russia, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban has said, quote, "Initially I thought that we had only shot ourselves in the foot, but now it is clear that the EU economy has shot itself in the lungs and is gasping for air." Many here agree. Jerome Hughes at the European Parliament, Brussels.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Erik Shumanandi from India.
was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of radio.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, July 17th, 2022. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, or messages. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice and send it to us. And of course, hear your voice in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. And dear listeners, tomorrow, 18th of the Islamic month of Dhul-Hajjah, corresponding with July 18th, 2022, marks Eid al-Qadir. So, Eid al-Qadir Mubarak, happy Eid al-Qadir. For the information of some of our listeners, Shia Muslims across the world observe Eid al-Qadir, marking the anniversary of an important event in the history of Muslims. This occasion commemorates the pivotal gathering at Qadir Khum when Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, on a divine command from God Almighty, designated Hazrat Ali as his successor. So again, happy Eid al-Qadir. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. You know why? Because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. So all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us or an eQSL card from us. So here I mention the name of those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Anand Mohan from India, Thomas Kotas from Poland, and Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. So Anand, Rob, and Thomas, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And of course, we've received many emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. Muhammad Khaku, one of our old and regular listeners from the U.S., has sent us an email. From India, we've received an email from Machi Raju Subah. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Dario Gabrielli from Italy has sent us an email. And we've received an email from Alan Willey from Canada. Stay with us, please. After a short break, I will be back with these great emails. Welcome back. As I said, Mohammad Khaku, one of our old and regular listeners from the U.S., has sent us an email. Let's see what Mohammad says. The public now knows that Biden is incompetent, and they're finally beginning to speak the obvious truth. The public has lost confidence in Joe Biden, lost confidence due to incompetent withdrawal from Afghanistan, and cannot control the worst inflation since 1970. Joe Biden, as an incompetent leader, is unable to solve the country's mounting problems. He has been stripped bare like the naked emperor. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, and IRIB English Radio. Mohammad Khaku from the U.S., thank you very much for sending us this piece of information and this piece of email regarding the world developments, as you describe Biden as an incompetent leader, regarding his failures within the United States and abroad, especially in the West Asia region. It's really great that you care about the world developments and follow the news regarding the United States. Mohammad Khaku from the U.S., thank you for sending us this email. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Mohammad Khaku, write to us soon, write to your radio. We are looking forward to hearing from you. And from India, we've received an email from Machiraju Suba. Let's see what Machiraju says. Dear IRIB English Radio, greetings. I listened to your listeners' special program through parstoday.com internet stream. Well, it was so joyful to hear the comments of other listeners from different countries, and music in the program was just nice. Thank you all for this interesting broadcast. Salam and warm greetings to you, Machiraju Suba from India. Thank you for telling us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcasts, especially your favorite program, Listeners Special. And that's great. It seems that you enjoy the comments of other listeners around the world. And of course it is. And you enjoy the music. And we should thank our producer, Mr. Khoshnavisan, for broadcasting great music in this program. Machiraju Suba from India, thank you very much for telling us your views about IRIB English Radio programs, especially Listeners Special. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Machiraju Suba from India, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with another email from one of our old and regular listeners, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. Stay with us. Welcome back. So, as I said, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Jayanta says, dear friends, as a long-time regular listener to IRIB English Radio, I have something to share with you. I have just enjoyed this beautiful video on Iran made by an Indian blogger on Shiraz in South Central Iran. I would like to share my wonderful experience with you and with all members of IRIB English team. The video is attached to this email. I hope you enjoy it. With warm regards from India. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, one of our old and regular listeners. Thank you very much for the video you attached to this email. Yes, we've received it and we really enjoyed the video. It was about the city of Shiraz in south center of Iran. Thank you for that. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, thank you again for this great email. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. And we've received an email from one of our old listeners, from Dario Gabrielli from Italy. Dario says, dear friends of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting, with great pleasure, I received your reply. I'm very happy that you received the viewing report sent some time ago via your webpage and email. To send the first listening reports, I used the website because I didn't know your email, but when I was able to listen to it, I started writing by email. I want to inform you that every week I listen to the broadcast in English because I don't like listening to internet radio. Together, via this email, I am attaching the QSL card that I have received from both the Italian and Spanish services during the various years I have listened to. Hoping for your news, I wish you a good continuation from the northeast of Italy. First of all, salam, ciao. Warm greetings to you, Dario Gabrielli from Italy. Many thanks for sending us this detailed email. Please accept our appreciations to you. We are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in your region in Northeast Italy. It's great. So you like listening to IRIB English Radio via shortwave, and that's normal. Yes, that's quite normal because most people like the traditional type of listening to radio, and that is via shortwave. So my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation to your email. Thank you again, Dario Gabrielli from Italy. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Canada from Alan Vili. Stay tuned. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as I said, Alan Vili from Canada has sent us an email. Alan says, dear staff, greetings once again from Newfoundland, Canada. Here is another set of reception reports of IRIB shortwave broadcast as monitored here in Newfoundland during the past few weeks. I wish to receive an EQSL card from your site. Salam and warmest greetings to you from Tehran and from Iran. Alan Vili from Canada. Thank you very much for sending us this email. Of course, my colleagues soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. And we are very happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received clearly in your region in Newfoundland, Canada. Thank you for that. Thank you for this email. Alan Vili, why don't you tell us your views about our broadcasts? Why don't you tell us which program or programs you like the best? Yes, in your upcoming emails, please tell us the points. Alan Vili from Canada, we are looking forward to hearing from you soon. So, time tells me that we have to wrap up the program. Thank you all for sending us these reception reports and emails. So I want those of our listeners who sent us emails and letters or reception reports accept our warm appreciations, including Alan Vili from Canada, Thomas Kotas from Poland, Rob Den Bauer from the Netherlands, Anand Mohan from India, Jayant Chakrabarty from India, Mohammad Khaku from the US, Machi Raju Suba from India, and Dario Gabrielli from Italy. We had a good time. We wish you all the best. Please keep in touch with your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio, and of course your favorite program, Listens Special. Have a good time. Write to us soon. Goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illa Allah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
So treat thou the straight path as thou art commanded, and those who turn unto Allah with thee. The noble prophet is reported to have said, on account of the station of this ayah, verse 211, Surah Al-Hud made me old. There is also in Surah Ash-Shura, but he did not say that surah. He said Surah Hud because in this particular surah, the prophet had been commanded to be steadfast himself as well as be responsible for the steadfast of the people and those who turn unto Allah with thee.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the Shi'is. In one of his speeches, he mentions that Ghadir was initiated to let it be understood that politics is related to all. Basically, he's referring to a famous saying and the famous teachings in the Islam that everything is interrelated to each other. Nothing is different from each other. And especially those in the secular world, when they want to separate the religion from the other parts of the life, from the other aspects of the life, from the other subjects of the life, this is wrong, because Islam did not came with the secular thought. Islam came with something which is interrelated to each other. Islam means that the religion has everything in it. It has politics in it. It has education in it. It has human sciences in it. Everything is related with each other. And Imam Khomeini is also referring to a very important part, which is Ghadir, which happened at the place of Ghadir-e Khum, where he raised the hand of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam and appointed Imam Ali as his successor based on a divine instruction, based on the verses that were revealed upon him, that, O Prophet, convey what it has been said to you. And if you do not convey, you have not done anything of the prophecy. You have not done anything yet.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala, oh.
صلى الله عليه
Prophet raised the hand of Imam Ali alayhi salam and appointed him as his successor in order to tell that when we talk about the religion is the politics. Religion itself is the politics. Why? Because when we see the Prophet, he is sitting inside the mosque and he is instructing everyone. He is giving the instructions to everyone. He is doing politics from the mosque. And this is the part of religion. We cannot separate politics from religion. When we look at the sermons of the Jum'ah prayer, it is necessary, it is written, it is necessary that the second sermon should be about the current affairs that are going on. It should be related to the politics. And the one who is delivering that sermon must talk about the politics. So Imam Khomeini is also saying that, look, those who say that religion is different from the politics, these are two separate phenomena, he says no. Remember that it is one, and Ghadir is one of the apparent examples where Prophet has taught or conveyed the message of politics through the religion, through the Hajj.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. in the limelight.
Biden is demonstrating with his trip to Saudi Arabia and the occupied Palestinian territories, and with his lack of response to police attacks on press within the United States, that he takes no issue with emboldening attacks on press freedom. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Sam Carliner Ryder. This article is published under the heading, Biden's West Asia Trip Shows His Disregard for Journalists. Stay tuned for more. Joe Biden has made trips to Saudi Arabia and the occupied Palestinian territories, two regimes who have made headlines for murdering journalists. The press in the United States has scrutinized the trip for how it lets the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia off the hook for the high-profile murder of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi. Though the Zionist regime has received less scrutiny for its history of targeting journalists, the regime recently faced pushback from international media after its military's targeted assassination of Shirin Abu Aghele, a trailblazing Palestinian journalist for Al Jazeera and an American citizen. This trip demonstrates that while officials of the Biden administration often pay lip service in support of press freedom, they will let governments off the hook for high-profile murders of journalists if those regimes help the U.S. maintain regional influence. It may be hard for some to admit that the U.S. government disregards press freedom in order to maintain international power. But for those of Americans who have been following the trial of Julian Assange, it comes as no surprise. The U.S. government has waged a campaign to silence and torture Australian journalist and WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange ever since he published evidence of U.S. war crimes in Iraq and Afghanistan in 2010. These attacks began during the Obama administration and escalated dramatically under the Trump administration. Infamous for its contempt for press freedom, the Trump administration indicted Assange on never-before-seen charges for publishing and began the process to extradite Assange from the UK, where he is currently imprisoned, to the United States to be tried under the Espionage Act. Even though just about every major human rights and press freedom NGO, as well as leading newspaper editorial boards, have warned that extradition would set a dangerous precedent against international press freedom and the First Amendment in the U.S., the Biden administration has continued to pursue extradition. This is a move that even Obama, whose administration waged a war on whistleblowers, chose not to make due to its implications for press freedom. Extradition would set the precedent that any journalist can be punished by the U.S. government for publishing truthful information that embarrasses the United States regime. UK Home Secretary Priti Patel has approved extradition, and Assange's legal team has filed its High Court appeal to stop the extradition. Time is running out for journalists in the U.S. to speak up before this attack on their rights is finalized. The actions of both Trump and Biden towards the press have made it much more dangerous to be a journalist within the United States. During the Black Lives Matter protest of 2020, police across the country targeted journalists, injuring and arresting hundreds of reporters. Though this large-scale targeting of press occurred during Trump's presidency, similar police attacks on journalists recently took place during protests for rights of other things last month. Rather than address this violence from government forces against the press, Biden urged protesters not to be violent. Biden is demonstrating with his trip to Saudi Arabia and occupied Palestinian territories, and with his lack of response to police attacks on press within the United States, that he takes no issue with emboldening attacks on press freedom. Since the Biden administration cannot be counted on to defend the rights of journalists as a principle, it is essential for the public to become louder and more organized in support of press freedom. In order for such public demands to grow, journalists must do a better job showing solidarity with colleagues, especially Julian Assange, whose persecution has been enabled by silence from journalists within the United States. U.S. news outlets must clarify to the public the stakes of an extradition of Julian Assange. For too long, many journalists in the U.S. have been far too passive as the U.S. government enables violence and repression against the press. Now is the time for Americans to fight these attacks, and that fight depends on freedom for Julian Assange.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. Eid Qadir celebrates the divine appointment of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin and son-in-law of the Holy Prophet, as Prophet Muhammad's vicegerent and successor. Congratulations to all our Muslim listeners on the auspicious occasion of Eid Qadir.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a beautiful hadith which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This hadith is about remembering Allah when entering the marketplace. As you know, remembrance of Allah is one of those pivotal and central virtues. And in fact, one might even say that it is the sole, Islamic virtue, the most central, one of the most central and most important of Islamic virtues. And it's so important that we have been asked to remember God continuously and in all situations. Nevertheless, there are certain situations in which the remembrance of Allah is very important and very imperative, and it's something that we should do and not forego at all. And it's been emphasized more than others. One of those places is the time when we enter the marketplace, right? When we enter the marketplace, this is one of those times where the probability of being deceived by Satan and the lower self, the carnal soul, are very great. So we should remember God even more in this situation. Imam Ali alayhi salam has been narrated to have said, "Increase in the remembrance of Allah when you enter the market while people are busy." Okay? When the marketplace is very busy and you enter the marketplace, regardless of whether you want to buy something from there, you have some work there, you're just passing through there, or no, you're a merchant and you're going to work, and you work there. Regardless of who you are or what you do or the purpose for which you're entering the marketplace, you should remember Allah in this situation. And it's curious and interesting to mention that Imam Ali also mentions the reason for why we should remember Allah in this situation. He says, "For verily, it will be an expiation of your sins and an increase in good deeds." Meaning your sins will be expiated and, you know, they will be eliminated, and your good deeds will increase. Then the Imam says, "And you will not be recorded down as being amongst the neglectful ones." Meaning the ghafilin, ghaflat or forgetfulness. This is contrary to remembrance of Allah, contrary to the zikr of Allah, right? And it's one of those, conversely, just like the remembrance of Allah is one of those central Islamic virtues, ghaflat or forgetfulness or neglectfulness is one of those central vices. It's one of those vices. It's a vice that leads to other vices. When we forget Allah, right, we commit sins, we do other bad things, right? So it's a cause of, other sins. Just like remembrance of Allah is the cause, and it leads to other good virtues and good attributes, right? And the marketplace is one of those places where Satan is very busy and Shaitan is very busy. It's very easy for a person to be deceived when he sees all of these, worldly goods in the marketplace and people buying them and money being exchanged and passed from hand to hand. It's very easy for a person to be deceived and deluded by Satan in this place, and this place where we need to remember Allah a great deal.